Hey, what's up? Hello. Welcome to Sounds Fake But Okay, a podcast where an arrow ace girl, I'm Sarah, that's me.
And a bi demisexual girl, that's me, Kayla.
And Aline Laurent Maillard, an ace and arrow non-binary person.
Talk about all things to do with love, relationships, sexuality, and pretty much anything else we just don't understand.
On today's episode, Free From Desire.
Sounds fake, but okay. Welcome back to the pod.
Welcome, everyone, and welcome to our guest.
Hello.
Hi, Aline. Thank you for joining us.
So excited to be here as a longtime listener.
I'm so excited.
We didn't realize you were a listener. Sometimes people are like, oh, I've heard your podcast. And it's like, okay, so you heard one episode. But we didn't realize you were an actual listener. And now I'm just like,
An actual listener was like, I had epiphany listening to your podcast.
Such an honor.
Oh, delightful.
And I think you're our first French guest, too. So it's very exciting to be more global.
Well, I'm representing all French ace right now.
Yep. I love
you,
it.
You are the country of France as we speak. Awesome. Well, quick housekeeping, literati event.
June 30th.
I think it's this week when this episode comes out.
That's horrifying, but maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Amazing. All right. Well, that's it for housekeeping. All right. So let's dive in. We are here with Aline, who is fabulous and wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here?
First off, I agree. I'm fabulous.
True.
So I'm an author of, so I'm French, you said that before. I'm an author of podcasts and books. And recently I just released my first podcast for the American audience, which is called Free From Desire. And it's the story of how I realized and accepted, which is two different things, that I was ace, and how it opened a whole discussion on how we see and treat sex in our society and how we can reinvent our relationship with sex and intimacy and rethink what it means to be in a relationship, what it means to be in to make family and all things like that.
Yeah. And it's at Tribeca Film Festival.
Yes. Yeah. And it won.
We have an award-winning podcaster on our podcast today.
I still cannot wrap my head around it. I think a month or two, I've been saying to everybody, no, but there's no winner. I cannot win. Everybody was asking me, when do you know if you'll win? And I don't know why, but the French and me were so sure that there was no winners. And I think if
we didn't even know it was a competition. Oh my God, that's so funny.
I think if we had known, we would have paid a plane ticket, because then we saw the picture of everybody with a prize and we just learned that we won just accidentally because someone read an article about it and then sent it to us. And
oh my God.
I was in a taxi doing an interview and I was just like, what?
They didn't even email you?
That's so weird.
Maybe they emailed the US office. I don't know, but the news didn't come all the way to us. So it was
That's
just
so
really,
odd.
Really weird. So we're just I've been celebrating almost entirely just by myself with my kid. So it's just,
I love that.
Not that much of a celebration, but I just still can't wrap my head around it. It's just so weird.
It's so exciting. I was stalking your Instagram last night because I was doing my little research and I was like, oh, I got to make sure we follow them on Instagram and everything. And I saw your story and I was like, oh my God, they just won.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is America. There is always a winner.
There's always a winner.
And a loser.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. It's true. We must make everything a competition.
And for once, the ace person is not the loser. So
yeah,
exactly. So exciting. I
huge,
love it.
Huge win for you and the whole team and A-Specs everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. So shall we dive into our little conversation? Kayla, do you want
to
start us off?
Well, I think what I was starting to say, and then I got so excited about you winning, is that so the podcast originally aired in France, and it's a 6-episode series, right? Or is it 8? I can't remember.
Either. No, no, I think it's 8 in the French version and maybe 7 in the American. Like, as it's been a long time. Yeah. So I think I recorded the first one when I was pregnant with my kid, and it was a summer 2 years ago. And the American version, I think it was also the summer, so last year. So I don't really quite remember everything. I should read about my podcast maybe before I go on interviews.
This is how I feel when we get asked about our book. I'm like, it was so long ago. I don't know what I wrote or what I did.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Same.
How many? It's 7 episodes, the American version.
Good.
I was right.
But it's like 7 episodes and it's more documentary style. It's you like talking about your experience and then like talking to experts and everything. It's more like, I don't know, I feel like educational and like scripted and put together versus like a podcast like ours where we're just like chatting and doing whatever. Just to give people
It's a mix of narrative and I guess journalistic work. And I go and I speak to a lot of different experts, most of the experts that we knew of 2 years ago. So you got Angela Chen, you got David J, a lot of people like that. And you also have ace people talking. Well, you also have my friends, but you also have ace people. Like we have this amazing episode that I think you're going to love where I interviewed 3 ace people about their sex lives, because like people always get her sex lives wrong and they always assume things that, you know, are incorrect. And so it's a mix of all those different people talking together. And like the idea is really to open a conversation rather than just share my story.
Yeah, I love that.
I kept hearing voices I recognize and being like, oh my God, I know them.
And, you know, like, of course, I'm ace. I'm from the very small ace, French ace community. And so, honestly, the first time I interviewed David J, and it was not for that podcast, it was before that, but like, because we don't have anyone in France. Like, I'm the most outspoken ace person in France. And I was just looking at what happened in the US, like the ace community is much bigger. And so I read interviews, like I knew all the story. And then when I interviewed David J the first time, I was just crying and thank God there was no camera, because I was just like, talking to David J. It's so beautiful.
That is exactly what happened to us the first time we talked to David J. We freaked out. Like the first time we talked to him, we were like, oh my God.
Well, and David, we were J's live. Here. We were doing a live stream.
Yeah.
And we didn't expect it. And then he was like,
hey, can
up.
I come on? And we were like, what?
And Why? He was just like at the beach with his kid, like, hey, can I join?
It was so.
I think I heard it. It was for Ace Day or something like that, no?
It was we did like a COVID live stream to like raise money for COVID
research.
It was
like right at the beginning
of lockdown.
April 2020.
Yeah,
it was for, maybe I'll listen to it.
I don't know. But it was embarrassing. So that's okay, because we were just like freaking out. But yeah, it was very exciting to hear people that I actually knew. Because I feel like when I listen to more like journalistic or research podcasts, they're always like, oh, we're going to bring in these experts. And it's all these like hoity-toity, like PhD whatevers. And I forgot that like the ace community is so small that like, of course I would probably have heard of the experts that you were going to bring in. So yeah, it was very exciting that I was like, oh, I know that person and that person.
But that's one of the reasons, like before doing this podcast, I've been pitching stories about asexuality, because before I used to be more like an internet journalist, you know, writing articles, and they would never take the articles, or they will always take something really basic, and they will always ask you to like, can you bring a psychoanalyst? And I'm like, no, they don't know anything. And so really one of the reason why I decided to go for a podcast format was just that it gave us more time and I could invite more people over, and we could just really give a voice to the ace community, because I just got so fed up with article that got, or documentaries or whatever, that got everything wrong. Like recently, so after my podcast, suddenly everybody was interested in asexuality in France, and different publishing houses just released books about asexuality, and like the definition in the first paragraph is wrong. And I'm like, this is completely insane. You gotta let people who know who know actually talk about this topic that they know. So for me, it was really important. And like, it took us a lot of time, especially in the French version, because like we wanted to have half, like we in the French version, we had Angela Chen, David Jay, and some other English speaking people, but we are also needed to have French speaking experts. And that's when it got tough. We're like, okay, who, like nobody knows anything about it in France. Like it's not something that people research or talk about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was very important to have people who know shit talk about it.
Yeah. I was going to ask kind of what the state of like asexuality and aromanticism is in France. Because I think we're so used to what it's like in America. Obviously, it's not as talked about as other sexualities, but like, you know, it's getting out there more, books are being published, there's more articles out. So it sounds like in France, it's still in those very beginning stages of gaining awareness.
Well, I mean, sure, yes. On all LGBTQ plus topics, we're always a bit behind what's going on in the US, but also we're a smaller country. I mean, we're a big country compared to many other countries, but we're still a smaller country. So there are statistically less ace people. And yes, so there are less ace people, but I do see a change from like, it's what I think it's coming up in the next episode, episode 3. I explain how I discovered the concept of sexuality and how long it took me to accept it because it was so frightening. But also one of the reasons why it took me so long to accept it was that I think it was in 2012 and like the info about asexuality was mostly wrong. And so how can you, like, I was reading things and I was just like, well, it's not me. It's not me, you know, like, and I see now a change. And especially after this podcast, I see a change in the sense that more and more you see people in like LGBTQ community mention the A, explaining it. Like I know people who do who go to high schools to talk about, you know, all things LGBTQ plus, and they say that the student there, they mostly know about it. Like they ask question like, what is asexuality and everything. So you can see that it's, you know, it's spreading. And we actually, I think, to me, one of the most important things that has happened to the ace community after David Jay is their representation in TV shows. And like you got, I mean, now it's almost a trope. Like you got a TV show about high schoolers, you got to have someone who's ace. Yeah. And it's the same in France. So, I mean, we do watch all the TV shows that we have in the US, like Sex Education was, of course, massive in France. And then we got so many really cool shows. And actually, something insane just happened. Next week, I'm on a TV show that's super famous called Scam.
No way. And I'm
playing You're on Scam? Role.
Yeah. I'm in the French version because they decided to do the whole season about asexuality this year. Because like it's a season where like, it's a show where every season has a theme. And so the theme here is like this super popular kid was just like, can't have sex with his girlfriend. And so like, it goes on to like, oh, him discovering his ace. And that's just like a really popular show amongst teenagers. And yeah. And they did it so well. It's one of the best seasons I've done. And you know, like they brought me in because like they listened to the podcast so many times. And so it's just so interesting to see how, especially teenagers now, like they know more about it. And the fact that suddenly after my podcast, all the media talked about it also, it made a massive impact. Like I was on the cover of like a very, very well-known and respected magazine in France, Culture Magazine. And like friends of mine heard people in the train, in the restaurant, talk about it.
Oh my God.
And it's just amazing. I got messages from people who are like 80 years old and like, you changed my life. And I'm like, this is insane. Like it's, something is happening because most of the articles after my podcast were finally like correct. You know what I mean? Like it's not, it was just like you let someone who was like, who knew about it, talk about it. And then they invited more people because I keep saying like, I'm not representative of the whole ace community. And some other people have to talk. And I know that when I started working on it, like as a journalist, the main problem was that nobody wanted to talk about it. Like if it was anonymous, why not? But not for like TV, not for not with the pictures taken. And so now it's really changing and we got more voice. So yeah, so it was shit. It's less shit. That's all right. Sorry, can I say
That's
shit?
good. Yes,
We
you can say
swear all
whatever the
the
fuck you
time.
want.
That is so exciting.
Sorry, I feel like I'm just like saying, oh, look at me, I'm awesome.
No, you
But
should.
you
You
know.
are. But you are. Like, that's. I was. Or Sarah, were you gonna say
I was just
something?
gonna
Go ahead.
say, I think that highlights the importance not just of like representation generally, because obviously me and Kayla are in, we're American. We are in a very American A-spec space. You know, representation is always important regardless of where it's coming from, but it's also so important to have like grassroots representation that can really bring a new perspective to other countries and cultures. Because if we just try and push, like, oh, this is our American A-spec representation and understanding onto everyone else, it can be helpful, but it's even more helpful if it's really coming from people in the community and in that culture. And so I think it's so important that that continues to happen and people continue to make their voices heard in their own communities.
Yeah, and I feel like in France, one of the things that bigots say is, oh, you just imported that from the US. Like it's not a real thing. And you can see that people will say, like, yeah, it's something that happens in the US, even like, you know, teenagers or whatever, like whomever, they would say, yeah, but it's not real. It doesn't like it's not as big in France or whatever. And suddenly when you see someone who just speaks like you, who has the same references, even if like in the end the characters and the arches are the same, like really when I see American characters that are ace, I'm just like, there's no difference, almost no difference between you and me in terms of how we feel about being asexual. But just for people, and also I know the like I have an international background, so I can relate more, I think, than some people who don't speak English, who hear like horrible like a dubbed version or whatever, you know, and it's so moving to see right now TV shows about asexuality where the characters, you know, they speak like us, they look like us, like the background is, you know, like ours. So it makes a huge difference. And I think it's really important to just like make it happen everywhere in all countries.
Yeah. Speaking of kind of the like internationality of it and also characters in the podcast, you reference a lot of just like pop culture, basically. Like you talk about the movie American Pie, you talk about just like seeing a lot of sex in the media when you were growing up. Did you have to change any of those references going from the French to the American version? Like, how much kind of content overall did you have to change to make it make sense to an American audience who might not know as much about France?
So we took off a lot of French references, but to be fair, like especially in the late 90s, early 2000s, when I was a teenager, there weren't a lot of content for teenagers, like French content. So like we watched a lot of American shows. So we didn't really have to change much. I mean, a lot of like wording and some things were just like, it's not gonna work. But the biggest cultural shock that we had is, so I'm French. We worked, the team was like my French producer, the American producer who was actually Israeli, and that was it. So, and the sound designer, suddenly I don't know how to say
Sound
my name.
engineer? Sound
Sound engineer,
engineer? Sound
yeah.
designer?
I think it's sound
Mixer?
engineer. It's also the same one that for the French version, so he's also French. And so there were barely any Americans on the day-to-day working on that podcast. And the reason, so the biggest cultural shock was like the title of the podcast, because it means something in French. It's just not like a fun sentence. It's a international hit from the singer Gala. And like for us, we were so convinced that everybody in the US would know that song. Because, like, everybody knows it, like, from Israel to maybe not Japan, but like everybody in Europe.
In Europe, yeah.
And somehow you got all the other bops from that from that time. You all have them except for this one. And so at some point we're just like, and we got the right to play that song. And now it's so funny because I get pictures from people all the time, like, look what they listen what they're playing at the Pride and all that. Like, it's a very queer song. And so we were so excited to have the rights to play that song. And then we're like, wait, nobody knows that song. It's insane.
That's such an experience I had, because when I spent a semester in Germany, like, you know, you would go out, whether it was just anywhere in Europe, not even specific to just Germany, they would play songs that were in English that everyone knew and I had never heard in my life. And I was like, I am a native English speaker. This is by like an American or a British artist. I have never heard this in my life. And everyone else was like, what, you don't know that? And I was like, no.
I recently, this is only semi-related, I saw a tweet recently that was like, do Americans love, what's the song called? Oh, they were like, do Americans love Mr. Brightside as much as Europeans do? And I was like, what a stupid question. We love that song. But like, they had no idea. They were like, is this only a big thing over here? And I was like, no, this is our song. Go away.
Anyway. I've seen some TikToks recently about like things that non-Americans thought were only in American movies. And then they were like shook to discover like are actually like common in America. The number one was yellow school buses.
Oh, they thought that was just a movie thing.
Yeah. Oh,
interesting.
Yeah. And then there was one that was like mailboxes. And I was like, what?
No, we all have them. That's so funny.
And it was just like, it was so interesting to see the things that like people just, they thought it was just in the movies. And it's like, no, that's real.
Yeah. But I get it, because it's so different. Like, it's stupid, but the mailboxes thing, like, I remember I think the first few trips I did in the US, I would take pictures of the mailboxes all the time.
That's so funny.
Our mailboxes just really don't look the same.
Yeah, they're just like
we don't have yellow school buses. Like, our school buses just look like crap buses. Just like any other buses.
Yeah.
That's part of what I really like about your podcast, though, is that I think so often as Americans, we don't get to see those cultural references from other countries,
because we think we're the center of the world.
Yeah, everything's so American centric. So it's really cool to be able to see like what life is like for like a French teenager in like the 2000s and 90s, and be able to pick out like what is similar to us and what's different. And it's really cool to be able to see an ace person from a different culture and be like, oh wait, but we are like the same, we had the same things growing up, even though we were, you know, across the ocean. It's really cool.
But to be fair, like, I feel like there are nuances and like the differences. I mean, the differences between the two countries when it comes to high school experiences and like relationship to sex and like how we view sex, there are differences, but there are, to me, they're details. Like, sure, in the US, you got a more prudish community. It was like, they're like, let's stay virgin until we get married vibe and all that. But like, we don't have that in Europe, or at least not that much. And we maybe have a more like culture, at least in France, where like flirting is seen as like something cool and like it's a bit messed up. But it's really, for me, it's nuances, because like in the end, it's like we got the same thing. Like, it's Western countries. Like, we think that sex is the most important thing all around. And like, we all grew up, or not all grew up. Like, if you're my age, you grew up with Sex and the City and American Pie. And now there are a lot of different shows also where like most of the action is about sex. It's like, how many shows a year you have a teenager who's obsessed with losing their virginity, so-called virginity, before going to uni or university? It's, you know, it's all the time. It hasn't changed. So I think, and even now that we're opening the conversation about sex now, you know, like post Me Too and everything, or post, like, we're still in the Me Too movement, and it's still going, not exactly at the same speed. Not, it's not like the things are not moving exactly the same way, but it's still going at this in the same direction, more or less at the same time. So like, now teenagers now in France, I don't think they're that different from teenagers in the US, you know,
especially with the internet. Like, yeah, it's true. Even more interconnected than it was when you were growing up. That was something I did have a question about. Like, one of the first things that really stood out to me when I was listening to the podcast, the American version, obviously, I don't speak French, was that it is definitely directed towards a specifically American audience. It's not just English-speaking audiences. It's specifically for an American audience. Like, I also noticed, like, you were referring to yourself, like, you were like, oh, I was a junior and he was a senior. And I was like, that is specifically American.
I was like, I know you don't use those words over there.
That's
I know
not you Canadian. Don't. That's not British. Like, and so I'm just kind of curious what the thinking was behind aiming it at that specific audience.
Mm-hmm. So first, like, let's go back and see why we decided to adapt the podcast into English. It's very simple. We got a studio in France. They launched a US office a few years back. And so they heard the story and they were like, that would be interesting for the American market. And that's it. You know, there is not really a lot behind it. It's just, I came with my project. I wanted to do it in French, of course, because I'm French. And then they said, can you speak English? And I was like, I can. and that's it, you know. But also, again, going back to, is America the United States of America? Because America is a continent.
I've learned so much about that recently. Like, in America, if you say America, it means the United States.
Yeah.
Outside of the United States, that is not necessarily true. Continue.
No, it is true in French, though, and I'm trying to change that. Because, like, yeah. I remember the first time I went to the U.S., I was, I think, 14 or... first time that I remember off, I was 14. And like, I was so shocked that everybody will be saying like America, America. And I'm like, so many other countries. Anyways, when I write French, to say United States as an adjective, like the way they do it in Spanish, instead of saying American, it's like United States, and you know, or something like that. And like, it sounds weird. And a lot of people think that it's very pretentious to say it like that, but I'm like,
yeah, because I got the French word for America isn't even, it's just the United States, like America. I took French for a couple of years in college, so
She knows nothing. She knows nothing.
Any of it, but I remember it's les États-Unis. It's not even America. It isn't even in there. Look at me knowing French.
Yeah, bravo.
So embarrassing.
Anyways, okay, so. Sure, the U.S. are not the center of the world, but also they kind of are culturally. So it's also, I think most of the people, like, we mostly learn, like, the way Europeans speak English, I think, is mostly, like, American English, just because of the TV shows, even though most of our teachers are British, mm-hmm. or they're just, like, French or German people speaking bad English. But, like, so... it's easier also, like, if you want to do an international podcast, it's just, I think, easier to reach people if you have American references. And so I speak English to my kid for like a bunch of weird reasons. And every time I'm like, because I have so many British friends and they don't have the same vocabulary that I have. And every time I'm like, what word should I pick? Because I know like three different, like, I studied in Canada, I have British friends, and I'm like, what word should I pick? Like, if you want to do something international in English, you got to pick a country. And I think the easiest is just the US because it's the biggest. It's really weird.
Yeah. Well, I think in general, what is taught in schools is British English. I think it's becoming more American English because there's so much American English media and culture that people are picking it up from there. So it's like, well, why are we learning the colonizers English when we can instead learn the imperialists' English, you know?
So much better.
Perfect. Ugh. Distracted us with
We should always talk about beating the British Empire all time.
Always.
And the French
always.
Empire too. Let's not forget we had an empire and we're as bad as the British, so
all empires. Just
we all yeah.
None of that.
I'm trying to look at my notes. I feel like I've asked all my questions just like through our conversation, all my little notes that I wrote down. Because I also don't want to spoil the podcast because I always like asking our guests like how they realized they were Ace or Arrow. But I know you talk about it in the podcast. So I don't want to like spoil anything. So I don't know. If you want to answer, you can. But if you don't want to spoil it and you want to make people listen, that's also fine.
I mean, I know that you only listened to the first two episodes and it's just like 2/7 of the podcast. And I think for ace people, I think the first two episodes are just going to be like, oh, I feel seen. Like, this is what I,
yes,
what I've experienced. And then the next, the ones after maybe are more interesting because it's really starting a conversation about how we could reshape society and relationships. So I think even if we spoil the first two episodes, there's just so much more in the podcast for ace people, even though it's not just for ace. Like, it was really, cause like, and I guess you probably have had the same experience, but ever since I started talking about being ace and what asexuality is, I saw that non-ace people were just so interested because like suddenly you were just like questioning everything that they thought they knew. And so making that podcast was also, sure, I want to help ace people, people on the spectrum, just realize that they're somewhere there and that they can change their life, but also just get the rest of them to just know what asexuality is and to rethink like the way they have sex, because apparently it's awful. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, you're supposed to want to have sex at the same frequency on the same day at the same time your whole life and be satisfied with the sex. It just doesn't make any sense.
It sounds like magic, because it seems like to get it correct without talking about it would require magic.
Exactly. And who has magic? Like,
yeah.
We're not even in a Harry Potter. Like, that's not it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did feel very seen by the first two episodes of you, because in the first two episodes, you haven't yet realized your ace spec, and you're kind of just like a teenager and a university student and like in your early 20s. And it was like almost like painful to listen to, like in a good way, but like, because I can just feel it of like, oh, we were there. Like, I know people who were there. I was there. And like, I'm like, oh, I know it's going to get better. Like, I know they're going to figure it out. But like, it is so, yeah, it is very relatable.
It was painful doing this podcast.
Yeah. Was it painful to like relive kind of all of those memories and like even talk to past people?
Yeah. Especially because I have such a bad memory that a lot of things, like, I'm a journalist, so I really wanted to have like the, you know, my life timeline correct. And like, I couldn't do that. Like, honestly, doing the podcast, I realized that somehow, I think I thought that I discovered asexuality when I discovered also bisexuality and all that when I was 2021. But that's actually doesn't match what I had. Cause like, I went and look into like all of my discussions on like Facebook Messenger and everything. I even tried to go into my Hotmail Messenger or something like that, and I could not get in. But like, I went into my old mailboxes, and then I was like, doesn't make sense. Like, I'm from those email. It feels like I've discovered that word in 2012, and so it was really weird trying to piece everything together. And just rereading some emails, I also like reread the notes that the people in junior high would write, and it was just so painful to just like people would write things like don't let anyone change you, but like change your jokes.
Like, Jesus Christ,
so brutal. So it was weird, like to have to write about, like to relieve certain things because I was reading them, to just like suddenly feel like that teenager that I was, or that young 20 something that I was. But I think the most uncomfortable was really the second episode, where I talk about the few years where I forced myself to have sex, thinking that this would just like ignite something. And I suddenly, you know, like I will like it. Oh yeah, that was something cultural too, because we have a very famous saying that says the appetite comes while eating. And that was like the podcast, like this episode was really around this concept that we hear all the time in France. It's mostly about food, but it also, you know, goes for like a lot of different things. And that's what I heard so many times when I was younger. Anyways, yeah, so that episode, like just going back and rethinking of all the bad sex situation I put myself through, and just also having like interviewing people about the gray zone, as they say, which I think is a bullshit concept, is just still not consent. Like you need to be, the two people need to be enthusiastically into it. And otherwise, you're just forcing someone, and that person just says yes because, you know, they're like, maybe I should, or like, this person really wants it. Or I still don't get why you would have sex with someone who doesn't seem to be into it. Just
If
it
that just
baffled.
seems, yeah, I like, apart from the consent part, just talking about the enjoyment, like, I feel like I wouldn't enjoy having sex with someone who wasn't into it. Like, that seems like I would be off put
I mean, I
by
barely
that.
enjoy sex at all, so like
That was something that really stuck with me in that second episode, where you were saying how you were forcing yourself to have sex. You knew you were forcing yourself to have sex. Your friends also knew that you were forcing yourself to have sex, but nobody saw anything wrong with it. And I think that's so just indicative of sex culture and culture more generally, that I think we're moving away from. Hopefully we continue to move away from, but I think it's so important to like acknowledge that these things kind of happened to you in the past, and you can have not known then that they were bad, or that they were, it's like you hear people too about talking about like situations where they were like, oh, I thought I consented to that, and then later on they're like, I totally didn't. And then they're having to completely reconceptualize these experiences they had. And like, that's okay, and that's important, and that's hard as well. But I think it's a really good thing to talk about, so that people are aware that like you can change your conception of what happened to you in the past. And sometimes it's actually really important that you do.
I think for me, doing this podcast really got me to realize that I put myself in violent situation, but not just me. Like it's not on me. It's first off the brainwashing, but also those people who forced me. Like it's not like I said yes because I just asked. Like they went on and on and on and on. And also one very interesting part is that I mostly had sex with people abroad, and I think they were fetishizing the fact that I was French, and I was like this cliche of a French, the cliche of the French person that they had in their head, because I'm skinny, I'm white, and because I didn't want to, I just didn't feel very welcoming, which I think also like the rude French person is like also that cliche. And thinking about it, you know, I'm just like, this was wrong on so many levels.
Coerced consent is still a lack of consent. And that's something
Exactly.
that it's important but really difficult sometimes for people to learn.
Yeah. And you talk about in that episode kind of how I think it's your when you're talking to Megan Carroll, who I love and I know. So that was slay. I was like, oh my God, Megan, what are you doing here? But talking about like how
By the way,
women are
Megan was
often
not in the French version. We added
I
Megan
was
because
wondering about that. Yeah. Well, I'm very
she's the
glad
only
you
addition
did.
we did to the American version.
Oh, nice. Megan Slay. Oh, sorry.
Very glad. Very glad. She's amazing.
Oh my God, the cat. What was I saying? Oh, so you talk about how like the kind of the sex roles and the sex script about how the man is supposed to be like super into it and the woman is just kind of like docile and like, oh, I don't know. And so I think that's part that's really important for especially non-A-spec people to hear, because that also happens to non-A-spec women, where we start having sex and maybe like aren't super into it at first, or like the sex isn't good because men don't know how to like please women and aren't concerned about it. And so, like you said, your friends were like, oh, it's totally normal. Like, I also hated sex at first and just like kept doing it and then liked it eventually. So, I think it's really important for A-spec and non-A-spec people to hear that, like, no, that's not okay. And like, women shouldn't have to just like take that to like sex eventually or something.
So as a side note, after the first time that I've had sex and that I wasn't into it, which was weird because it was like someone was hosting me on a couch surfing host. So like where was really my consent, you know? And it was also sort of like nagging me, because before that it was like, no way, you never had sex, it's impossible because you're hot and blah 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 and blah blah blah. And so, you know, it's almost like that, like, feeling of like you have to prove it. So after that one time where like I went all the way through and I fucking hated it, and after that I started doing something every time, I would just ask the guy to pull out. And because I could never, once it was in me, it was just like, it's too much. I just cannot. And I remember it was when I was studying in Canada, and I remember someone mentioning during a big party, it was like everybody talking about sex because we're in our 20s. And somebody was just saying, oh yeah, I do that thing. Like I always stop at the third base and a half. And it was so interesting because it was the first time that I heard someone say that she too could just not, like, once she was there, she just could not go all the way. And so I have no idea why she was doing it. But I think I remember that having someone mention it, it did not stop me from having a lot of bad sex and asking many more times for guys to pull out. But like for the first time, I was seeing that someone else was just not into it and just getting in those situations. And I remember the feeling of being like, oh, well, sadly, in my head, it meant that it was okay to continue doing this because apparently it was a normal thing. But it's also, I wasn't the only one, so I wasn't completely broken.
Yeah.
So yeah, we need to talk about those, because if we don't talk about it, then we don't know.
Yeah, because you're kind of validated in doing it. You're like, oh, well, if everyone's doing it and having a terrible time, then certainly what I'm doing isn't bad for me, because like we're all doing it. Yeah, and it creates just like this cycle of just everyone
it's
talking
like
themselves up.
Runs, you know, like it's like everybody's doing it like that, but at the same time, it's like you're not alone. So
yeah. And I think on the topic of the audience for this podcast, you mentioned it earlier in this podcast and at the beginning of your podcast in Free From Desire about how it's podcasts everywhere. You know, this isn't just a story or just content for A-Spex. And I think that is so important, because I think just based off of the first two episodes that were out by the time we recorded this that I have heard, it's a really good introduction to aloes for an example of what the A-Spec experience can be like. And obviously, you know, one person can't speak for every A-Spec person, but you do have a lot of, I think, universal experiences that you talk about. And because you talk about them in such detail, and as Kayla said, like sometimes such painful detail, like, and but you also have these like experts on and these like journalists and researchers, and like you hear all of this context, I think it's just a really good introduction. And on last week's episode of the podcast, the one that is out tomorrow for us, we were talking about how like this podcast sounds fake, but okay, it's just A-Spec's existing, and that is what we do. We're not like a serious storytelling or educational platform, and that's one of the critiques we get, is that we're not. But it's like, well, that's not what this podcast is. But I think your podcast, that has more narrative, like documentary, journalistic education, like that is a really good representation of that kind of media. And so I would absolutely recommend it for all of the A-Spec's listening and all of the aloes listening, to just make everyone listen to it.
But so, thank you, first of all. But it's one of the complex, it took us so long to write this podcast, especially the first episodes, the first two episodes. It was just like, honestly, I almost did a burnout while doing this podcast. I just could not at some point. And one of the reason, like, is those feeling of like feeling like you have to have sex before a certain age, like everybody's talking about sex, why are you not having sex? This is almost a universal feeling. I mean, of course, some people don't feel like that because they love sex or whatever. They were in a setting where they didn't feel that pressure. I don't know. But most people have felt that, whether they're ace or aloe. And one of the tough things was to make it to make it universal so that people would like want to continue listening even if they're not ACE, but also to show how specific our ACE experience is. And honestly, in the first episode, I'm not sure that it is specific to an ACE person. I think it, like my story gets very ACE specific, I think, in my 20s. But before that, it is very universal, I think, in the sense that like not everybody is just like sex oriented when they're like a teenager, and or at least not as much as society want them to think they are.
Yeah. Like even if they do have experience crushes and like sexual attraction and all that stuff, it's still pushed on you so much. Mm-hmm. And there are certain expectations to talk about it a certain amount and to participate in it a certain amount. And so even if you are allo, that can definitely still feel like a burden.
I feel like weirdly, what was making me feel different and awkward when I was, especially like junior high, high school maybe, was the fact that I was aromantic. Because I didn't have any crushes, and I felt at the time that this was what, like, I think I felt at the time that sure it was going to come, like time was on my side, so I was like, it's going to come. But I still had that feeling of not being able to connect with the other kids because everybody was talking about crushes. And well, it took me way longer, it took me to listen to your episode about Joe March to understand that I was aromantic. But it's really, I think the ACE part was not, I didn't feel so weird being ACE when I was younger, because like I had other friends who are not ACE, and they also didn't really, like, we never talked about sex with my friends. Like all of my friends, we French kissed, we tongued way later than like most kids, or way later than we thought most kids were doing it. So it's just, it wasn't that much of a discussion. Like we never talked about masturbation or whatever. And I know a lot of kids talk about it, but like this was not something that I talk about with my friends, because like it was not interesting to my allo friends at the time.
Yeah, I think the romantic piece definitely comes earlier. I mean, like I know I'll see on TV or even like in person people talking about their children, like their young children being like, oh my God, he has a crush, or like he has like a little ladies man onesie on. And it's like, what the actual fuck? But it does come so much earlier, the romance and the crush part. And I think, yeah, as you get older and the expectation of having sex gets like more and more pressure as you like get into high school and university, and then you're in your 20s, and it's like, okay, if you haven't done it by then, like you talk about it, it's like people are like, oh my God, that's crazy. But yeah, the arrow piece when you're younger, when people are just starting to get all those crushes and stuff, it is a lot more difficult.
It's actually something that the last episode is actually about how I decided to raise my kid, who's now 21 months, so almost two. And as a non-binary Asian Arrow person, like it was really important to me that, and I don't know if I could do it any other way, but that I would not reproduce that pressure to be cis, to act like a lady, to act like a gentleman, to be in love or whatever. And so I tried as much as I could, being in a French system with my environment, to not gender my kid. And so I only use gender neutral words, and like I never, like I of course never say like comments if my kid is playing with kids of the other gender, so to say, because I don't think my kid has a gender, because my kid is not old enough to have claimed a gender. But yeah, it's, so we go into that bit too, like if we want to change the system, sure, we gotta talk about asexuality, we gotta talk about enthusiastic consent, we gotta talk about the importance that sex and romance have in our society, but we also have to do better with the young people that are born and growing up right now. Like we can actually make it so that it's not such a pressure, that it's not ingrained in their brain from like when they're in the, like when they're being born, and then someone is saying, oh well, I do have a kid of the other sex, of the same age. Maybe one day I will marry them. And you're like, this baby is like an hour old. It's completely insane. And I see that at my kids' nursery, and it's just driving me nuts. And I think, yeah, we have a lot to do, and like everything is connected. So like education, talking about sex, like even like fiscality, like real estate, all of that is just like interconnected.
Yeah, there's a bit of a social taboo around sexualizing really young kids, but that taboo does not exist for romance. And so it is really just kind of enforced upon kids from the second they're born, and it's not fun. I did have a question. This was something that you mentioned before we started recording, was that there was a little more of that arrow aspect in the French version of the podcast that you ultimately decided to dial back on in the American version. What was the thinking behind that? And like, what kind of things did you have in the French version that you ended up not keeping in?
To be fair, I don't remember.
I love that.
I respect that.
I know that we cut a lot of, because for me, talking about aromanticism meant talking about focusing on your friendships or your family as you want. And so I had this whole discussion about the limits of being romantically partnered, like being in a romantic relationship, like and just like forgetting about your friendships or putting them second. And so I had the discussion about how I try to reshape very, very slightly, very lightly, that my the way I interacted with people and the way I organized my life, so that I had friends that were more in line, like whose vision of life and friendship was more in line with mine. And I think that's mostly what we cut, the whole discussion about friendships. But yeah, this is something that I will go into in more details in future work that will be in French, but maybe one day will be in English. Who knows? So this
everyone start learning French now. just to consume Aline's content.
I'm going to go back to my French classes. I'm going to try to remember what I once knew.
Yep. All right. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I wasn't good at it the first time, and I can't imagine it's easier learning language.
I recall me and Kayla were once in France together, and I do believe there was a situation where someone said something to us in French, and I understood it before you did.
Okay, first of all, yes, that did happen. But second of all, before we were together in France, I was without you in France, and I did hold a complete conversation with someone and knew all of what they were talking about. They were telling my friend, listen, she was telling my friend that she really liked her outfit, and she was like, oh, like they don't make colorful, like beautiful clothes for bigger people like us in France. Like, where'd you get that? And she was like, Walmart, because we're from America. And the lady was like, what is Walmart? Because it's France and you guys don't have Walmart. But I knew the entire conversation, and that's the only time I've effectively used French. So there you go.
Impressive.
All right. Thank you. I'll give you that. I'll give you that one. Sure, whatever.
Here's Aline knowing so many languages, and then there's us idiots.
Hey.
Nothing.
Okay.
Sorry,
you're monolingual. I am not.
What language do you speak?
I know German. It's not a useful language to know, but but I do know it.
But she did study it in college just to not use it now.
Yep. Exactly.
I'm actually really bad at speaking foreign languages because, like, I mean, sure, my English is not bad, but, like, I have spent so much time, like, with English-speaking people and working in English. Like, most of my bosses have been American, so, like, most of my life I've worked in English. And so even, like, I still feel very frustrated with my level of English. And, like, I'm also bad at French, and like I try to speak Spanish and Italian and Arabic, and I still remember painfully the time where, like, it's been like I think 7 years that I was learning Spanish, and like the Spanish teacher was like, "What language are you speaking?" And I was like, "Spanish." No, it doesn't. He's like, well, maybe I'm learning Italian right now, so maybe I'm confused. She's like, "I'm Italian. It doesn't also like."
That is cutting. But I think your English is very good, because English is a really hard, fucked up language. So
your vocabulary in English is very good.
English is the easiest language that you can learn.
Really? I've always heard English is really hard.
I've heard two things. I've heard that learning the rules of English is very, very easy. The problem is that there are a bunch of just random exceptions to the rules that there are no rules to the exceptions. So
yeah,
that's
but
what
I'm French. So like exceptions, it's the basis of like the French language. So like,
true, which is why it's so hard and I was so bad at it.
But also, again, like I'm really into movies and TV shows. Like when I don't write about gender, I write about and LGBTQ plus issue. I write about movies, and this is my whole life. So I have spent so much time watching movies that there are words that I've never used in my life. I just know because of movies. Mm-hmm. And so you learn the exceptions because you're just surrounded with English at all time. Like there are very few people who can say they don't hear or read something in English of their day. Like it's
everywhere. Being a native English speaker is a huge privilege in the modern world. And I don't mean like, oh yes, it's so nice to be able to speak English. Well, I mean like it is. But like it gives like native English speakers have such a leg up over everyone else.
See, we were talking about like the French ace community, and up until recently all the content about asexuality was in English. You had to just like know what was going on with Avon and just like go and read and like do that work on the internet in English to get the info. And so, you know, like it's a privilege that not everybody has. And it's really nice to see that some people in France are really doing a great work at translating some academic work into their Instagram account or like on blogs to get this international and but more specifically most of the time American United States college, you know, work to into French. And I think this makes a massive difference. But yeah, like some Instagram accounts about asexuality are popping up right now, and it's popping out, and it's really, really nice. But
it's so important to see all that stuff translated, and then like the next step past that is to like have foundational conversations that are just happening in French that weren't translated to begin with, like are just French conversations. And it sounds like thanks to you, those are kind of starting to happen maybe a little bit more than they used to.
I remember the first time I was invited to talk about asexuality, they invited two ace person, me and someone else. And I was moved during the whole interview because I realized that I never actually talked to someone who was ace and out and proud and like had knowledge about being ace. Cause like I have many friends who are ace who didn't know they were ace before I started talking to them about like, or talking in general about the ace spectrum. And so now I have friends who are on the ace spectrum, but like, because they're not on the same end necessarily of the spectrum, or like they don't have the same experience in their life, or they're not ready also at this, you know, honestly, like they're not as into what's going on as I am. And it's just, I remember that feeling of like speaking with someone who was also ace, and it was just like ace and had knowledge about it, and it was just amazing. And honestly, I thought about that when we started talking, the three of us, like it is still one of the very rare occasions in my life that I'm talking with other ace people who are really into being ace. And it's just always, I mean, chills. Like it's just like,
yeah, I feel like we have this experience every time we have a guest on or we do interviews with other people, is I feel like we always get along with the people we talk to so well. And like, we're able to just have these really exciting conversations. Cause yeah, like in my real life, I know a couple ASPEC people, but like we don't have these kind of conversations. And so, yeah, it's always the best when we have guests on and we can just like talk about these things that we all understand and we all have the same background. It's so exciting.
And like, it feels like you've been friends for your whole life, but like, technically when we set this up, we didn't even email you. We were emailing someone else on your behalf. This is literally the first time we've ever talked to you, and it's like, oh, it's going great.
But see, like, I have a friend who's ace, never ace in a row, I think. Like, she doesn't really use those words to describe her, or like, not necessarily. And like, she never had any sexual intercourse. So we have like completely and never dated anyone. So we have completely different backgrounds. And sometimes when you're not on the same page, when you're not to that point where like you reach the end of your journey, so to speak, like it's never really over. But like it's difficult because like I don't want to feel like I'm pressuring her, and I don't want to feel like I don't want her to feel like this is all I talk about, or like she should do it this way or whatever. And so most oftentimes I'm just censoring myself, and like sometimes I want to say us, but I'm like, you know, I know she knows, you know, but like I don't want to like put a label on her if she's
She's not
clearly
there
not
yet.
really ready, because it's such, it impacts your whole life afterwards, you know, like, yeah, as soon as you accept that you're ace and arrow, you're not gonna be like in a romantic sexual relationship, and that's gonna change your whole life. And even though, you know, like you've been that way your whole life, just knowing that there's no, like it's gonna stay like that, and there will be no happy ending, you know. It's just so difficult. And so yeah, it's rare to be on with people who have finished their journey towards accepting and loving that they're ace.
Yeah, it's super nice. I know I have a few friends that I'm like their A-spec parent. Like I was the one that introduced them to it, and I'm kind of like helping guide them through. And yeah, it's interesting having to be like, okay, I'm just gonna let you do your thing over here, and I'll be here if you have any questions. But like,
Me for the first 30 episodes of this
yeah, that's very, it's
podcast
very true. Sarah was my ace mother, and Sarah was over there like, this bitch is so fucking demisexual, but I can't tell her that. I just have to sit here and watch her figure it out very painfully and in front of everyone. Yeah. Hee
tea.
But the thing about demisexual is like so many people are on the spectrum, and like I remember so many people when I explained what it meant to me to be, because at the beginning, I thought I was demisexual. Like it was easier to think that. And when I'd explain, they'd be like, "No, but that's normal."
I
And
know.
then suddenly, all those people were like, "I think I'm on the spectrum. I just realized that not everybody is like that." And so it's so easy to just think that, you know, like there are so many demisexual people. Like
Oh yeah,
it's a
there's like so many and no one knows it. I've talked to so many people that I'm like, you are definitely demisexual, but I'll just let you
No, that's
have a
just
moment.
how everyone feels. Okay,
Yeah.
sure. Oh, sure, Jam. All
No.
right.
Every time someone is saying that to me, I'm like,
Good to know. I'll keep that in
Do you
mind.
drink a lot? Do you take drugs when you have to have sex? That's a sign.
Interesting. All right. Kayla, is there anything else that we want to hit on?
I can't think of anything.
I also had a note, just a thing that I liked was how you, in the second episode, you acknowledge, I think it was either Angela or Megan who you were talking to, I can't remember now, who were saying how oftentimes intimacy is conflated with just like meaning sex, and that intimacy equals sex. And I did like how you kind of jumped into that a little bit and was like, you know, that is not necessarily like sex can be a part of intimacy, but it is not, they're not equivalent. And that was just the last thing that I had noted that I wanted to bring up. Not really a question, just I liked it.
It was for me one of the main takeaway of like delving into asexuality, and especially into Angela Chen's book. Like obviously when I read it, which was like, oh yeah, all of it, yeah. And it's interesting, later in the podcast I mentioned my like I mentioned how my sex life has evolved. Now it has reached I don't really want sex at all, but I did. The last relationship I had was after I was really like completely and fully like understood, like when I really understood who I was as an ace person. And so it was interesting to just accidentally being attracted to someone and like being in the, 'cause like I know that it rarely happens to me that I'm attracted to someone. And so it's neither romantic, it's neither sexual, but it's still an attraction. And so having that, feeling that attraction, it was interesting to see how I could make that relationship work. Like it was not like a serious relationship, so to say, like it's very serious to me because it helped me so much and I had such a nice time. And it means something to me, that relationship. But like, I realized, you know, I tried to see what intimacy was. And to me, I realized it was just like being naked in bed and watching cartoons, or at least with that person, that's what it meant. And so I think it's also very important to just talk about all those moments of intimacy and how, when we feel intimate with someone, and I don't think it's actually, even for like allo people, I don't think it's sex, not most of the time. Because like, I mean, how many allo couple actually have sex? Not that many. Like, I'm a parent, I know people don't have sex.
Yeah, it seems people make it way bigger part of intimacy than it actually is. But yeah, intimacy can be anything. It doesn't have to be physical at all. And so, yeah, I also really enjoyed that you talked about that. Because, yeah, especially for ace people who do want to be in relationships and are trying to figure out how to make that work and how do you have intimacy in whatever way, it is like difficult to figure out when everyone is telling you the only way to have intimacy is to have a bunch of sex.
And no. No, it's not.
Not at all. You
could be naked.
You could just be naked without sex. Did you know?
Did you know? I actually do have one more thing that I want to talk about, just because I'm selfish and I'm obsessed with myself and I'm American. Which is, you said that our episode, was it our Little Women episode that helped you kind of like realize your aromanticism? What about it? I'm just curious.
Give us compliments.
So it's interesting because like, of course, when I started listening, or not of course, but like when I started listening to your podcast, I was already very comfortable with being ace. It took me a long time, but I finally got to that point. And so, of course, I read about aromanticism for so many times. And like, I think it's in the podcast. Like, I was like, yeah, but that's not me. Because first of all, I love romantic comedies. So, so I'm in love with Heath Ledger. So like, no, that's not me.
Can't be me.
And also I was like, yeah, but I had a crush between like when I was in junior high and listening. And I remember going to see Little Woman, and I was obsessed with that movie, the Critical Week one. And it's just like for days it was with me. And then I listened to your podcast. It might have been the first episode I've ever listened to. Maybe I saw someone referencing it. I can't remember how I stumbled onto your podcast. And then I was listening to what you were saying. And I was like, I don't know, it just clicked. Like, it's funny how it took me so long to like accept that I was asexual. And just like, just listening to you two talk about Joe March, and then like I was like, okay, well I guess I gotta use that word now, like this is now my new identity.
All right.
And it just, but again, it goes to like having the right definition, and not just the definition but understanding the nuance, you know, like understanding. And I love like what Alice Osman says about that, you know, like you can love romantic comedies and not being into and not feeling romances, just as you can love horror movies and not wanting to be dead.
Yeah.
And I think that plus reading Angela Chen's book about like our, like how little we know, how hard it is for us to differentiate different type of feelings and attractions. And then suddenly I just looked back at everything, you know, I was like well over my 30s, and then in my 30s, but like over 30. And then I looked back and I was like, yeah, that was not a crush. That was just you finding for the first time someone you actually wanted to be friend with. And like, you wanted that person to like you back. It's like completely different. Mm-hmm. And it just like suddenly like everything just hit me. And I was like, yes. Hearing it with a narrative, you know, having like an example It just changes everything because suddenly it humanizes this concept and you can actually relate to. And that's one of the reasons why with that podcast, but more generally with like all of my work, I always try to add a narrative around it, because I do feel like you understand better when it's about with a story. It's like the basis of storytelling. It's like, it's because we're people that we connect to stories. So
yeah, I mean, storytelling is such a basic part of humanity, and people all like to be like, well, sex and romance are a basic part of no, you know what's more basic to humanity? Storytelling. We have done this since the beginning of time. And the reason why you think sex and romance are an important part of humanity is because of the storytelling that we have told over the years to make you think that.
It's, you know, I'm working on this right now, like the construction of the romantic feeling and the fact that just the word, the very word romantic is just a recent creation. And before that, there were no words to describe what feels now, like everybody tells us, like it's natural, like romance, you'll know it when you'll know it, blah, 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 blah. But it is a recent concept. It's been a social construct because people wanted to sell books. It's just, and sell patriarchy too. It's just insane that people just didn't know, didn't have that concept in their head before. Like intimacy was completely different. You'll court someone, sure, but like it was not what we like what we imagine as romantic right now. And like being in a marriage, that was not romantic either. Like this is just brand new when you look at the whole history of humanity. And I just think it's so fascinating that even something that like everybody tells you, you cannot describe it. There's no way of defining it. I'm like, there must be, because it's not that obvious. Like there were no words for it until recently. There must be a way to be more nuanced when it comes to like how we love people. It's just, love is a social construct. That's
everything is a social construct. Nothing is real. We're in a simulation.
We live in a society.
Society, yeah.
All right. Well, I think that actually covers everything I wanted to talk about. I mean, I know we've been talking for quite a while, but Aline, is there anything that you want to say about the podcast that you, your podcast, I guess, or also ours, but mostly yours, that we haven't hit on yet?
No, I mean, just go listen to it and discover what's in the rest of the episode that you haven't heard in that very cool podcast that is sounds fake, but okay.
Yes, everyone go subscribe so you can get all the episodes. Because right now, as we're recording this, there's only two out. I assume by the time this comes out, there might be another one. But everyone go subscribe.
Kayla listened to it before I did, and she texted me and she was like, Sarah, this is so good.
I was like, this is really good, actually. This is actually really good.
And then I listened to it and I was like, you're right.
It's really
this
good.
This is really, no wonder it won at Tribeca.
It won!
Amazing. All right. Well, what's our poll for this week? Have you listened?
Have you listened?
Are you yet? Tribeca? Are you a winner? Aline's answer is yes.
Did you win Tribeca? And there'll only be one yes answer, and it'll be Aline.
Maybe you have stars listening to your podcast.
That's true. Maybe. We don't even know. Everyone That's could true. Be a winner.
Like we have very few stars, like public figures who are ace and out. So like you're out there. We know you are. We're not the only ones.
There has to be more.
Come out.
Let's go. Yeah. Have you listened to Free From Desire? And if not, why?
Why?
Tell it. Be honest. Are you really busy?
It's okay if you're busy, I guess. But like, you can listen in the car.
Yeah.
They're only 30 minutes.
I had one person in France that messaged me last week saying, I'm finally listening to Free From Desire. I was too afraid to do it before because I knew it would shake me. And I was like, okay, that's one very good reason to not listen to it.
It's that's
like,
true.
You're not ready to
You gotta be mentally prepared. Yeah. That's how I feel about watching a sad movie. I have to be ready to be sad, you know?
Yeah. That's valid.
Yeah. That's fair, I guess.
And don't watch Little Women if you're not ready to face the fact that you're aromantic.
Yep.
Yeah. Or cry. You gotta be
ready to cry. Or just cry. You might just cry a lot.
Yeah.
It's so good, though.
You gotta watch it. You have to.
Anyway. All right. Cool. Our poll. Listen to Free From Desire or else. Kayla, what is your beef and your juice for this week?
My beef is I had a headache for all of yesterday and I almost made it go away and then it came back and it was there for no reason and it was really annoying. Stupid. My juice is I had one and I forgot. Oh, I went on I feel like I talked about this at the end of last episode, but I went Taylor Swift boat cruise party thing yesterday.
For the record, we're recording this 2 days later than the last episode, so like not much has happened.
Not much has happened in my life, but it was fun. Everyone, I didn't know all the songs. I only know the hits, you know, but everyone knew all the songs, and everyone was dressed up in their little outfits, and it was very cute.
Did they do the 10-minute version of
They did. Good. The DJ was like, do you want to be sad for 3 minutes or 10 minutes?
Or 10
minutes. 10 minutes! So then we were sad for 10 minutes.
What the fuck is the name of that song? Why can't I remember
All Too Well.
All Too Well, yeah. Yep. All right.
I had fun on the boat.
Good. I'm happy for you. My beef is that, you know how last year, okay, there's been a lot of drama about the Target Pride collection. I'm not even going to get into that. But you know how last year they had the cat toys that were little mice and they had little flags? And I got really excited and I bought them for Bogey because one of them was an ace flag. This year they did that again, except they changed some of the flags.
Is there no ace mouse?
There's no ace mouse and there is no lesbian mouse.
This is Sarah from the future. They also had no bi mouse. They said pan mice only. Boo. Hiss. I mean, we support the pansexuals and the panromantics, but girl, bestie, not this bi erasure, too. Ace, bi, and lesbian erasure? Ugh. How 2018.
That's fucked.
Yeah. It's That's like, just add more mice. Just
yeah, they didn't
like,
need to switch the mice. Just do
you
more mice.
You don't need
mice.
To pull them out. Just make, get,
don't
you know
pull
what?
Them out.
You know what you could do? You know what you could do? You can make more money off of this. You can have different versions.
How much money does it really cost to make a couple extra? Like, these are probably like 50-cent mice that are being made in China, right? Like, these are not expensive mice.
Like, just make multiple different types of packs so that people have to buy multiple packs. To
more money.
They can make so much more. It's foolish.
I hate that.
My juice is bagels.
Mm. Sarah did stuff her face with a bagel right before.
I did. I really did. And I did eat the rest of it during this, just very
casually.
Oh,
I didn't even notice.
And
so.
Carefully.
Congratulations. didn't even know.
All right. Aline, what is your beef and your juice for this week?
I have so many beefs, but like none are interesting. I'm just moving, changing apartments, changing cities. And like awful. Everything from like the bank emailing me that finally the loan rate will be higher than expected and like trying to find a new daycare for my kid and all of that. So I feel like my life is full of beefs right now.
Yeah. No, moving is horrible. And when you're a kid, you hear adults talk about how moving is horrible and you're like, yeah, you know, you're displaced. No, there are so many things to deal with.
Just hate it.
Horrid.
Yeah. Annoying. And my juice, I don't know. Winning Tribeca?
I think that's a very good choice.
Just a casual Tribeca win, I guess.
Yeah, that was literally yesterday. So, like, I'm still that's processing so with you. So, sorry for the listeners who think that I talk about myself too much, but I'm like, I'm
you
still
deserve it.
Like,
as you also, should, though. You won. Like,
also, if they listen to this podcast, they have a pretty good tolerance for people who talk about themselves too much.
That's true, because that's true. All we do. So yeah, if they're going to be mad about that,
I feel like I'm going to be a one-hit wonder. And, you know, like, it's just amazing everything that's happening with Free From Desire. And I, like, maybe it won't be the case. Maybe so many great things are going to happen. But, like, I feel like this might be the most epic project that I do of my life. Like, how many times do you think I'm gonna win a prize, an award of that magnitude, and be on the cover of one of my favorite magazines? Like
7 million.
I don't think it's gonna happen again. And it should be normal, because like that is not normal. So I'm like,
let's go for another.
I said, need to enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, no,
you
but
should.
Like,
you should enjoy it all you can, but I also think it'll happen again because
yes, and even if this is your biggest achievement, that is a really fucking that, awesome yeah. achievement.
Really much bigger than most people's biggest achievement, I think. Yeah.
So good for you.
And also my juice is being here with you. It's just great to like oh be God. On the other side. Like after listening to so many episodes, I'm like, wow, on the other side.
Wow, it's exactly the same on the other side. They're just
as chaotic.
Very true.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you so, so much, Aline, for joining us. Where can the people of the internet find you? Not at your new house. that's for sure.
I was actually thinking about it on walking back to my home for this interview. And like, I think I need to change my Twitter and Instagram handle because like it dates back from like an old life and it's very hard to like spell it in English, I feel. So
we'll
just type
it.
My name. Social media. It's Aline Laurent Maillard. Just go on the podcast and check the spelling.
I just looked up Free From Desire on Instagram and that's how I found you. So you could also try
really?
That. Yeah. Cause it like popped up with your little post about Free From Desire. And I was like, oh, there they are.
Yeah. And for the Americans listening to this podcast, because the world revolves around us, I am going to pronounce Aline's name in a horribly American way to hopefully help you spell it, okay? It's Aline Laurent Maillard. That is the American way. If that helps anyone.
It doesn't sound as cool that way.
It doesn't.
Make everything sound so boring.
All right. Yeah. Follow Aline. Listen to the podcast. It's fucking great. Go team. Let's jump to Sarah from the future for our patrons.
Hey, it's Sarah from the future. I hope you're doing even better than you were 2 minutes ago when we last spoke. I'm here for your patrons. We have a new $2 patron. It is Stav Levinger. Levinger? Stav Levinger. Stav Levinger. I'm sorry for that, but thank you for your support. And if you tell me how to pronounce your name, I will say it again next week. Our $5 patrons who are promoting this week are Scott Ainsley, Sophia P, Tall Daryl, and the Forest Pigeon. And also, you know what? We just for this week, you guys get a special spotlight. Congratulations on existing. Our $10 patrons who are promoting this week, first of all, it says that we got a new patron and that new patron is Purple Haze. Purple Haze, we've been promoting you this whole time. Were you ever not a patron? Did you revoke your patronage and we didn't notice? Either way, we've been promoting you. And so we're still going to promote the host club for you, which is their friend's podcast. Let me know if you want to change that. Our other $10 patrons who are promoting something this week are Arkness, who would like to promote the Trevor Project, Allison, who would like to promote Arden Gray by Ray Stiff, Ben McLeod, who would like to promote, and Benjamin Ibarra, who would like to promote Tabletop Games. Benjamin Ibarra, such an OG. Just remarkable. Our other $10 patrons are Boston Smith, David Harris, Derek and Carissa, L. Bitter, My Aunt Jeannie, Coolin, Maggie Capella, Martin, Giselle, Maddie, Potato, Barefoot Backpacker, Ruby, Song of Storm, The Steve, and Zirkle Tao. Our $15 patrons are Andrew Hillam, who would like to promote the Invisible Spectrum podcast, Changeling and Alexia's Cat, StarshipTrainsling.net. Oh my god. Click for Caroline, who would like to promote Ace of Hearts, Dia Chappelle, twitch.tv/MelodyDia. Oh no, I scrolled. Oh, I got lost. Oh dear. Hector Murillo, who would like to promote Friends Are Supportive, Constructive, and Help You Grow as a Better Person. John Young, who would like to promote blah, 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 blah. Math, who would like to promote Catching Up on the Podcast After 2 years. Nathaniel J. Waite Designs.com. Kayla's Aunt Nina, KateMaggotArt.com, and Sarah Jones, who is at Eternal Lolly everywhere. Our $20 patrons are Sabrina Hawk, Merry Christmas, and Dragonfly, who would like to promote our book event happening this Friday at Literati Bookstore in Ann Arbor, Michigan. If you're still here this deep into the podcast and you're still listening and you didn't just skip over all the patrons, you're a real one. And I hope to see you there. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Sarah from the future. That was compelling.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Wow. That's my favorite version of Sarah. Sarah I'm talking to right now sucks.
I know. But all right, that kind of covers it. Aline, thank you again so much for joining us. You had a delightful time.
Thank you.
Having me, it was pretty cool.
Yes. And again, listen to Aline's podcast or else. How does this podcast end? What do I say?
Thank you so much for listening. Tune in next. I'll just do it. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in next Sunday for more of us in your ears.
And until then, take good care of your cows. We did a switcheroo.
Oh my God. Wow.